they would say, gee, you should have shot yourself in both,
right, both legs.
So I went out and I got a banana. Summer thunderstorm.
We're in the middle of a summer thunderstorm, and I like it too.
Not bad. Not bad.
You may have heard that. So, to all you teenage boys out there, and all you Republican senators, keep it in your pants.
She got really pissed
rhythmic
at us.
Rhythmic gymnastics.
Right, because we basically played the gym. Welcome to Catalyst Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And this is episode 100, a milestone in the history of Catalyst Screaming Argonauts, the podcast.
And here we are in Massachusetts, where it all started.
Yep.
But not in the Northampton Pub.
No, we are on the bucolic shores of Lake Westbrookfield.
Lake Winnipesaukee. Wiki-waki. I love it.
Wiki-bug. And we're in the middle of a summer thunderstorm.
We're in the middle of a summer thunderstorm, and I like it, too.
Not bad. Not bad.
You may have heard that. That was God.
Saying how much he likes CSA podcast.
That's all right. We're drinking beers here.
Massachusetts beer.
And we should make it an effort to not both drink beer at the same time, because then there'll be like a dead spot.
A dead spot.
Unless God shows up again.
So, no synchronized beer drinking.
No synchronized beer. Well, syncopated beer drinking, I think we should be able to do.
Syncopath? Is that what you think?
No, just in rhythm.
In rhythm. That's okay.
We'll get a little Cuban groove.
Sort of like milking a cow. One and then the other.
That's right.
Sounds good. Today is just for the record. It is Wednesday, August the
5th.
Today is Wednesday, August 5th.
A low number of the, it's a single digit.
And we're very, very close, actually, to the actual 2-year anniversary. Mm. That'll be in October 23rd or 24th, I believe.
Right. So, well, we'll have to do a veganza for that.
We'll have to do another veganza for that. So, when we started talking about what we were going to do for the 100th episode, we knew we wanted to do something special.
Right.
And we started to kick around the idea of a clip show, which would have been great. We were going to go through all 99 previous... How stupid was that? We were going to go through all 99 previous episodes. And
which, by the way, the listeners should go back and listen to all.
Right, they should. But we were going to go back and listen, and we were going to pull out some pertinent clips, and then we were going to play them, and then we were going to talk about what we were thinking about, what happened, any funny stories. We were talking about maybe having Manhattan Man or Denali come in and
right.
A couple of comments and stuff like that.
And unfortunately, we're not going to have Manhattan Man.
Nope.
That's like a very small amount of beer already, I can't talk. Or Denali here, because they're out of town. We don't know that they're out of town together.
Right.
But they're away at the same time.
They're away at the same time. And the other part of it was that stupidly, we thought that we could go through 99 episodes and pull out clips, and we realized that, you know, unless we were both unemployed and had lots and lots of time on our hands, we were not going to get that done.
What were we thinking?
I don't know. It was probably influenced by alcohol.
It probably was influenced by alcohol. That's so much of the show.
So what we did was we decided to take a little bit of a turn from that and talk about one of the things I think that has been a driving force for the podcast has been that my feeling is, and I think you would agree, my feeling is that we are trying to teach people lessons.
We're trying to share the benefit of our collected knowledge.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely. So we are teachers in a way. We're not podcasters.
Right.
We are philosophers and teachers.
This is the service Catalyst Screaming Argonauts.
Right. And so we started looking through some of the previous episodes and kind of highlighting what we saw as some of the lessons.
and a few things jumped out.
Right. And some of them are very, very basic, and some of them are very, very deep. But all of them have some sort of attachment to who we are and what we do and why we do it.
And you're talking about we being Americans and humans.
As well as CSA Podcast.
As well as CSA Podcast.
Right. So that's what we're going to do for today's show. We have a list of about, oh, I don't know, there's probably 10 or 12 lessons.
Right.
And we're going to just talk a little bit about each one of them.
Right.
And, you know, we'll tell some stories about how we came to that lesson.
Which, in some cases, we came through the grace of being Ted Stephen Nimity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I thought, rather than going through the order that I had originally written them, I'd start out with some of the easy ones first.
Okay.
Okay, so the first lesson I thought would be that They Might Be Giants is a great band.
We agree on that.
Okay, and
yes.
We do. We do agree on it. And they are one of the driving forces as to where Countless Screaming Argonauts came from.
Right. We're sycophantic fans who hang around at stage doors.
Right, hoping for a glimpse of
our heroes.
Our heroes.
Yeah.
I was introduced to They Might Be Giants by Max, who gave us a mixtape of some of their music.
That's right.
And it was when my children were very young. And I would honestly say, with no hesitation, that we played that tape 150 or 200 times.
Yeah.
Every time we were in the car going anywhere, we had that tape in. We all memorized the song lyrics. We all memorized college boys' flubs of some of the lyrics. He used to, in one of the songs, he just made up words. And
yeah.
So that became the... That became
he would sing the college boy lyrics.
Right, the college boy
the
lyrics.
The young college boy lyrics.
So here it is 2 years ago in October, and we decided to go see the band. The band was playing in Northampton in a really nice venue. We invited Max to come over. Max came over. We went to the Northampton pub where they make their own beer.
And we had beer.
And we had beer and we talked.
And we had food and we talked.
And we had more beer and we talked.
And then we went to see the Giants.
But in that talk, we said we should do a podcast.
We should. Right.
And we kicked around a couple of names. But Countless Screaming Argonauts stuck real early.
Yeah.
And that's because it's a lyric from probably their most famous song.
Well, that's interesting. You think so? Birdhouse in Your Soul? It's certainly a really good song. And it's a very silly lyric. We should probably mention the lyric at this point.
Well, it plays at the end of every podcast.
Right.
Birdhouse of Your Soul. We play the the lyric that includes the words Countless Screaming Argonaut.
There's a something primitive ancestry, I can't believe it, I can't remember it now, which stood on rocky shores and tempted Jesus shipwreck.
Right, he's talking about a lighthouse.
He's talking about a lighthouse.
Little Birdhouse is in My Soul is about a nightlight.
It's about a little blue nightlight.
Right.
And he's saying that his ancestors were lighthouses, and if he were asked to save ships from rocky shoals, he wouldn't be able to do it, and there would be, if he had done it for Jason and the Argonauts,
they all would have died.
Countless screaming Argonauts,
right,
on the rocky shoals. And I don't know, I just like the idea
right.
of the light, nightlight being
sure. No,
descendant of a lighthouse.
Right, and that was perfect. That's where we got our name from. That's where we got our driving force from. We saw them in that concert. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, they do a great concert.
And then College Boy stepped up big time, because
yep.
we were thinking it was going to take us 6 months to get off the ground.
Well, I was hoping 6 months. I was thinking more like 2 years.
Right. And we had an episode on the intertubes in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because
thanks to
College
Boy. He did a lot of work. He got a whole nice little rhythm of stuff to do. And hence, we started with episode one. Such a long, long time ago.
What a great place to start.
Yeah. So, yes, lesson number one is They Might Be Giants are a great band.
They are.
Okay.
I was going to tell you my little Evan story. Just
sure.
I made several copies of the tape, and I had one that I kept in my car, and I used to drive Donald and his kids around. And I used to play it for Evan when he was quite small. I used to play Particle Man on that tape, which I still think, modestly as can be, that that's the best mixtape ever. But there were two versions of Particle Man, and we would listen to it. And Evan hated the fact that Triangle Man beat up Particle Man. And he would just sing the other lyrics every time. He'd just sing his own lyrics.
Right.
Maybe think of
it. So college boy.
Yeah.
Kind of did that.
Person Man beats or wins, or I forget how he would.
We should one day do a show about They Might Be Giants and just talk about some of their music.
Some of the lyrics. That's a great idea.
You know, and I, because I think the difference is Particle Man, well, it's not their song. It's somebody else's song, I believe, right?
No, it's their song, and the Bobs do it.
Oh, okay.
On the show.
All right. But what I was going to say is I think that Birdhouse in My Soul is a, I don't want to say better song, but is a more popular song. But that doesn't mean that it's their best song.
I think Particle Man had like actual airplay.
Right. Yeah.
But the biggest hit that They Might Be Giants ever had, it's got to be something from Flood. But
it's tough to say because I mean they also did they do the Dunkin' Donuts commercials,
well,
which are very very popular,
and the TV show about the Malcolm in the Middle.
They did that song,
yeah.
Which was also very, very
well,
popular.
Well, yeah, but I think they had one song that, like, made the charts. But they've been doing music for 25 years.
Right.
And they're relatively unknown, which is strange, because they're awfully, awfully good.
They are. Well, it's because they're so unusual.
Yes, just like Cyndi Lauper.
Right. All right, so let's move on. All lesson right. Number two. Okay, I thought this one was one that would give us a chance to talk about what's been happening the last 2 years. And that is that speeding tickets, car repairs, and car accidents all suck.
Right, which also plays into why we don't have clips and maybe better preparation for the show.
Because I've been in the hospital, you've been in the hospital, you had a car accident, you got a ticket. I mean, it's just been, the last couple months have been...
It's been a difficult half of the year.
It is. But, I mean, you know, we each have our own little stories. I think in the 2 years, I've been in the hospital 3 times.
Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So you're ahead of me on hospitalizations.
Right.
But I'm ahead of you, I think, on both tickets and accidents.
Yes, I think probably you are. But nonetheless, they all suck. There's nothing good can be said about car accidents, speeding tickets, or hospital stays, I don't think.
Right. And nothing good ever comes from being drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning. How is it that you say that?
Well, I did two different things. One is alcohol may be involved, and nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
Nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m. Although my car accident was before 2 a.m.
Right. I don't think it's so much a time issue. I think it's just meant to be.
What were you doing at 2 a.m.?
Right. And if you are sitting on the side of the road...
with your head in a garbage can.
Right. That's not a good thing.
That's right.
That's not a good thing. So, I think we should get into some of the meat and potatoes.
All right.
All right. Sometimes you just need to plead stupid.
Yes.
This is in a theme that we started probably back around episode 9 or 10. And it was, I remember originally raising it because I said, Max, we got to do something about the judicial system.
Yeah.
Because if they have a videotape of you beating somebody up with a stick,
right.
You know, I just don't understand why you can go into court and say...
plead not guilty?
And have to plead not guilty so that you get a trial. I thought that this should be an alternative.
Right.
And the alternative that Countless Screaming Argonauts came up with was...
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I was stupid.
I was stupid. And then immediately, almost like immediately after we started talking about that, we had the infamous Plaxico Burress case.
Right.
Where he had an unlicensed handgun in New York State, which is stupid number one.
Right.
He brought it into a club wearing sweatpants, which is stupid number two.
Right.
He was...
both stylistically and from a practical standpoint.
Right. He was reaching into the pants to do something, and we don't know what he was doing.
Maybe playing with his gun.
Maybe he accidentally pulled the trigger on the gun and shot himself in the leg.
Which
and he is going to spend a minimum of 2 years and possibly up to 3.5 years in prison because an unlicensed handgun in New York carries a Class D felony.
And I've been thinking about this. It just seems to me that if he had been playing for the Cowboys and been in Texas, he'd have been fined $500 and told to go home.
Well, Dante Stallworth from the Pittsburgh Steelers got drunk after signing his 5-year contract.
Yeah.
Got in his car, rolled over somebody and killed them, gave the family $2.5 million, and has to do 40 or 80 hours worth of community service.
Right.
That's the penalty
right.
for doing what he did. Plaxico Burress, who had a licensed handgun in Florida,
yeah.
although it was not licensed in New York, accidentally shot himself, didn't hurt anybody else, and is going to go to prison for at least 2 up to 3.5 years. There's an inequity there.
There is absolutely an inequity.
And it's the state versus state.
Right.
In Texas, where they love guns, they would say, gee, you should have shot yourself in both legs. Damn it.
There are places where they think everybody should carry all the time.
Right. Kentucky just passed that law that says that you can carry a concealed weapon in church.
In church.
Because God knows, if I was in church, I'd want to have a handgun.
God wants you to have a handgun, apparently. No, I'm sure the idea for that was that they could have shot the guy who was shooting up the church, because I think that was done in Kentucky.
Right.
But one statistic that I've heard, and I think it's true, is the most guns are in Texas, the most murders are in Texas, and the most executions are in Texas.
So you would say that there's a pattern developing.
I'm thinking, yeah. I think less guns, less murders. But people will say you're safer if everybody has a gun, and I just think that's insane.
Right. No.
But I have some sympathy for Plaxico Burress. I don't think he's evil. I think he broke a law, which was a very serious law. I don't know that he even knew he was breaking the law.
Right.
And he makes poor style decisions. And for those reasons, I think he should.
And he should be able to plead stupid and kind of not get away with it, but
right.
but have that be a mitigating,
right.
mitigating
and
factor.
There is a nolo contendere plea that's available in, I guess, most states, where you just plead no contest. And then the judge sentences you according to his whim. But we think there should be a plea of stupidity, where you pretty much throw yourself on the mercy of the court, admit that you did it. I think your first case that we talked about this was a guy who drove into somebody's gate, drove his car into the gate. There was a camera on it, and they had it. And we just thought, just go in there and say, yeah, I did it. You know
drunk.
I did it. I was drunk.
You got pictures of me doing it, I know. It was stupid. I promise I won't do it again.
I promise I won't do it again. I'm really sorry. I was an idiot.
Right. And that's where it ends.
And that's where it ends.
Which brings us to our next lesson, which is that the term or the phrase, alcohol may be involved, is not generally a good thing. Now, we scour the internets.
We do.
Looking for stories. And easily, a third of the stories that we come across have that sentence or something similar.
Right.
Involved. I mean, off the top of my head, there was the one about the guy who dressed in the, who was in the football stance, who tried to run through the warehouse door, knocked himself unconscious on camera. There was that one.
We should put cameras in there too, because yeah. they show up again.
There was the woman who shot her husband because he was stealing because he was stealing her beer.
He was stealing her beer.
Right?
I'd forgotten about
we
that.
We had that one. We have the drunk guy who was trying to get into that old lady's house, and she stabbed him with a screwdriver. Nailed his hand to the windowsill with a screwdriver.
That's right. Alcohol may have been involved.
Yeah, alcohol may have been involved there. I mean, these are just, you know, just a few off the top of our head. Most recently, right? Most recently is that guy who was the prosecutor, the lawyer, who after winning a big case was found in somebody's backyard with his head laying down
in a garbage can. Right.
With his feet dangling out the other end.
Right. Alcohol may have been involved.
And it makes me think, I really think that we should looked into the countless Screaming Argonauts game.
Yes.
And we would have that story without that alcohol maybe involved.
Right.
And then you have to figure out which of the countless Screaming Argonaut lessons directly applies.
Yeah, I agree. I really do think we should do it. The only thing is, my first thought was a board game. I mean, I'm sure I could come up with a board game on it. But maybe there's a computer game, a network game that we can do that would take a little more thinking.
Right.
But... yeah, we'd have to come up with, we'd have to go through the archives, come up with a story, or a whole bunch of stories, and just sort of have them rotate, like with Trivial Pursuit, where, you know, they just have a thousand questions. We'll just have 1,000 stories, and the answer is either alcohol may have been involved.
I should have pled stupid. Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
Right. The senator was, you know.
Right, the religious right was... All right, you know, I think that it would work. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really do. Which leads us to our next lesson, which is Nothing Good Happens After 2 a.m.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that's hardly even ours. I mean, I've heard that before.
It's a classic.
And it, basically what it does is it points out to the fact that in the early morning hours, you don't read stories about heroism at 2 a.m. You read stories about stupidity
at 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's true. You don't usually see stories about people being rescued from burning buildings. You see stories about drunks
falling out of buildings.
Out of buildings. or
wow. Or,
that was a nice flash of light.
That was spectacular. We'll hear from that one in about a minute.
There it is. All right.
Yay.
A nice summer storm here on Lake Wickabod.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's not unusual for us to pull up an intertube story that begins, police were notified at 2:36 a.m., or...
And you know it's going to finish with alcohol was involved.
Right, it always does.
And it may well finish with the senator declined to comment.
Right. Well, we'll get into the political ones. Mm-hmm. In a minute. But before we get there, I just wanted to quickly talk about, or not even quickly, but I wanted to mention the one about never put embarrassing or illegal pictures on the intertubes.
On your intertubes. In your blog?
Facebook.
Facebook in particular.
MySpace. You just don't do that. And people continue to do it all the time.
And people are losing their jobs. They're losing scholarships.
Kids are being arrested and getting labeled as sex offenders.
Right.
You know, because of having a cell phone photograph of their girlfriend naked.
Right.
And sending it to somebody else.
Be careful what you do with your naked pictures.
No matter how private you think it is, the internet is public.
And once you let go of a photograph of yourself, if you put it into someone else's hand, be it Facebook or your boyfriend, you lose control of it. And
the stories are myriad. I mean, we had that woman who lost her scholarship because a picture of her in a hat.
And a pirate hat holding a beer. Is the least offensive of any of the stories we ever heard, and clearly a case of injustice.
Right. But she didn't get... She lost her scholarship
because of that.
We've had people who have gone for job interviews, and as part of the background check, the companies will look up on Facebook and see that.
Yep.
We have, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, we have that senator from wherever he was who had pictures of the 22-year-old intern that he had on his blog.
Right. I can't even remember which senator that was. I keep on saying Mark Sanford.
Yeah, no.
I think it might have been from South Carolina, but it wasn't the governor.
Right. So, I mean, you got to be smart, people. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
You need to be smart about what you put out there.
And particularly girls, I think, women. If your boyfriend says, let me take a picture of you, say, fine. I get to hold it. I get to keep it. You know, he can come over and visit the picture if he wants.
If he wants to.
But it could work the other way around, too. And that would be strange, but I mean, labeled as a sex offender hurts you for
forever.
Ever, yeah.
Basically.
And I think maybe the laws need to be made a little more flexible on this account. Sexting between teenage romancers is...
Well, that was another one of those stories where the kid was,
yeah,
he was charged with underage sex because of the sexting that he had done to his girlfriend that his mother had, that her mother had come across. And it was later admitted that that actually hadn't happened between them. What actually had happened between that guy and the girlfriend's friend.
Right.
And so he ended up being arrested, and he sexted an underage child, and so he became a sex offender.
Yeah. So don't do it. Don't do it.
Even though he was barely...
I think he was 17 and she was 16.
But that's enough.
So, to all you teenage boys out there, and all you Republican senators, keep it in your pants.
And if you do take pictures.
And if you do take pictures, don't post them on Facebook.
Right. So this is another lesson that we learned. You and I learned this one the hard way. And that is never predict sporting events like baseball or horse races. Because right, we have had at least three extravaganzas that have focused specifically on that.
Right.
And we haven't even come close.
We've come close.
Close. We haven't come close in any of them.
We have picked second place horses to come in first.
Right.
Over and over again.
We've also picked first place horses that finish last.
We have picked first place horses that I think they have the same appellation that they do in NASCAR.
Right.
DNF.
Right. There were four of us picking baseball. And three of us picked the Seattle Mariners to win the division, and they lost 101 ball games that year. So that was not a...
And of all the sports that we know something about, we're best at baseball.
Right.
And that was horrible.
So that's a hard lesson that we learned.
Some of our fans may recognize the fact that we never went back and reinvestigated our predictions for last season.
Because it would have been a short show. We would have come on and said...
We were wrong.
We were stupid.
Right.
We plead stupid.
We plead stupid.
We have no choice in the matter. We were wrong. We were wrong from the beginning.
We were wrong. Mea culpa.
What else could you say?
Mea right? fucking culpa.
Yep. So, another lesson. Politicians need to focus on real issues, not issues like song lyrics or estate birds. Okay,
yes.
And this is a particularly one of my issues, and that is, and I always say the same thing. I say I'm glad that Baltimore is now the most crime-free,
right,
educationally
perfect,
solvent,
right,
perfect city in the country. Because their state senator has enough time to introduce a resolution to allow Baltimore Oriole fans to modify the
national
anthem by yelling the word O, because that's what the Baltimore Orioles are referred to as. The
O's. Letter O instead of the word O.
Right. And to me, it just flips me out. You know, I mean, Baltimore has all kinds of problems, and this guy has enough time to worry about that.
Changing the official start of the national anthem at Camden Yards instead of actually being concerned about street crime in Baltimore.
Right, or public health, which is a real big issue down
or
there.
Or public education.
Public education or whatever. The other one, the state bird one, came out of an argument that took 2 days of representative time it was in a southwestern state. I don't know which one it was, but they argued for 2 days about what the state bird should officially be. And to me, that is such a waste of time and energy.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes me think of that George Carlin joke about the two kinds of state motto.
I don't think I'm familiar with that.
George Carlin talked about how the highest ideals are represented in the state motto of New Hampshire, I believe it is, live free or die. But in Idaho, it's famous potatoes.
Right.
you know, you could one license plate versus the other license plate.
Right.
But probably neither state legislature should have spent much time on what goes on the license plate.
Which is which.
Right. Right.
But no, that's absolutely true. The last lesson that we came up with was that hospital stays suck. Now, we kind of hinted at that in the car accidents and speeding tickets and car repairs all suck. But hospital stays suck, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure that takes a lot of explaining.
No, I don't think it does. Other than the fact that, you know, for me, the height of suckiness, sucktitude, was the fact that this last time that I was in, I was having trouble sleeping. And I asked the doctor to prescribe, and I don't normally do this. Mrs. Penguin would be the first one to admit that I don't like to take medication that I don't have to take and stuff. But I specifically asked the doctor to prescribe a sleep medication so that I could be sure to get some rest at night.
Right.
And that I was in the hospital for 8 days, so that was 7 nights. And in those 7 nights, I was woken up 5 times to
get
my
sleep
medication.
Yeah.
And to me, that is the height of stupidity. If a nurse comes in there and I'm sound asleep, that alone...
Let me sleep.
Should be a thing about letting me sleep.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Because it's about them and their records. You know, I asked one of the nurses, why did she wait till midnight to come check to see if I was sleeping when I was going to bed at around 9 o'clock? And she said, because 9 o'clock is for vitals.
Right.
And 10 o'clock is for a normal medication, and 12 o'clock is for sleep medication.
Right.
And so they're so boxed into that time frame that they don't look at you at 10 o'clock and say, oh, he's having trouble sleeping, I'm going to give him his pills now.
Do you think this has to do with litigation at all?
I would imagine that there may be some of that involved, but I think that it's probably the broader litigation of things being scheduled. You know, that if you don't schedule the medication to be given at 9 o'clock, it might be easy to forget to give the medication at 9 o'clock, and that opens up the issue of litigation.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to get an IV.
But it's defensive medicine. Everything is...
Right.
We're doing this so you won't sue us.
Right.
Which we should probably get into tort reform at some point, but it's way too serious
a topic for this podcast. For this kind of a podcast, for sure. So, the other thing that we wanted to mention was the whole CSA Scaly thing.
Right.
Because that was sort of where we started.
It was.
That first day at the Northampton pub.
Right.
That was sort of the germinating idea that we had this food scale. You had this food scale.
It was me and onion rings, I think.
Right. Had this food scale, and basically the test as to whether something... whether food was good for you was this scaly thing.
Whether I would eat it or not.
Okay.
I had to make a decision on whether or not to eat something, and I ultimately...
Answered three questions. The questions were, is it good for you?
Right.
Number one. Is it tasty?
Right.
Number two. And is it productive?
Right. Am I getting nutrition out of it?
Right.
Because cotton candy is tasty.
Right.
Not productive.
It's not good for you, either.
It's not good for you. So it failed. So I don't eat cotton candy.
Right. Now, onion rings was the first test.
Right.
And you ended up saying that was okay, because, one, it was tasty.
Yes.
For sure. Good for you, at least it's a vegetable. It may be fried with...
Well, I think onion rings ended up being kind of borderline. I was thinking that I don't eat onion rings, but... They do have that vegetable factor. I think onions are among the healthiest things that you can eat.
Right. The fact that you slather them with...
deep fried batter.
Right. And stuff.
That kind of slices right down the middle, the good for you part.
Right.
It's deep fried, but it's good food.
Right. It's tough to say nutritious when you're thinking of onion rings.
Right.
And so then we expanded that idea into a generalized test of everything.
I think you can do it.
That we would come up with those three questions, and we started with sports.
Right.
Is it a sport or
not a
sport? And the three questions were essentially, you know, did you sweat? I forget the actual questions. Did you sweat? Is there competition
Yeah.
Do you sweat? Is there competition? And
is it is there decided winner at the end?
Right, decided winner at the end. And so we were, we got into, this is where Millie Jupiter
got into the,
she got really pissed
rhythmic
at us.
Gymnastics.
Right, because we basically said that gymnastics, wow. We basically said that gymnastics was not a sport because you have judges.
Right.
Who two judges could look at the same thing and one could give a very high mark and the other one could give a very low mark and rationalize doing
so. As
we've
seen over and over again.
Right. And so we had trouble with that.
Right. And also, if a boxing match goes to the end without a knockout, that is judged also.
That is judged also. But before that point, there was a make or break point. I mean, if you knock the other guy out, you win.
Right.
So that had at least a part of that.
And it's because we know intuitively boxing is a sport.
Right.
You got to make a Perry Mason case to get me to believe that
right.
rhythmic gymnastics is a sport.
And we had some that were sort of like in the middle. Bowling was one. And the reason for that was because we said, you know, yeah, you could sweat, but you could also drink beer and smoke cigars.
Right. Any sport that you can do while smoking a cigar is not a sport.
It's not a sport. Right.
Which puts golf in trouble.
It could put golf in trouble, right?
A good walk ruined.
Good, right, sure. So then we applied it to movies, we applied it to restaurants.
I think we should revive the scaly thing.
I think we probably should, too.
And just, you know, find three questions for different things. And you got to get two out of three in order to
pass.
Right. But is Sam Adams Summer Ale a beer?
Okay. Yeah, because it's fruit.
It's got citrus in it.
It's got fruit in it.
You know, if it's got citrus in it.
Well, there are people who believe that if you put fruit in beer, it's not beer anymore.
It's not beer. Yeah. On the other hand, does it get bubbles? Yeah.
I mean, it meets all the other criteria for beer.
Yeah, it gets you drunk. Got fruit in it. I think that's plus two minus one. I think we can say it's a beer.
You might be able to say it's a beer.
But it's not like Guinness Stout where there's
right.
no doubt.
Right. Speaking of beer, one of the other things that's happened since our episode number one was that College Boy and I brewed beer.
Yes.
Of our own.
And I had some and it was, well, no way.
No,
I didn't have any.
Max didn't have any. Because Mrs. Penguin drank his beer, and so he's threatening her with a gun right now.
That's right.
As we speak.
But I'm not threatening her with a gun, but she gets to hear it on the public airwaves that
right.
she drank
multiple
my
times
beer.
That she drank his beer.
That's right.
Sorry.
It was good beer, I have to tell you.
I don't doubt it for a second.
College Boy said that it's ruined him for other beers now.
Wow.
Because when he drinks other beers, he says he now judges every beer.
By the Blue Canary.
By the Blue Canary Cream Ale.
Wow.
Which is what we call the Blue Canary Cream Ale, named after the...
another snippet from the same line.
From the countless Screaming Argonauts, and They Might Be Giants.
All right.
So, anyway, we are at 37 minutes.
Partly a Vaganza.
Of lessons. Lessons learned. Anything you want to bring up? Anything you want to touch on? As we listen to the last remnants, I think the thunderstorm here is just about over.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it was pretty cool to have it for the background.
Have the rain as
the
background,
show.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So, no, I think
it reminded me of that video that you posted on your blog.
Yeah.
That a cappella group that did
Did
the rainstorm.
Yep. Yeah, check out the blog. It's www.8minutesonhigh.com. And
going back probably about a month, you posted
a
video about this a cappella group. It was interesting as I showed that to College Boy.
Yeah.
And he said that he has done that exercise.
Is that right?
At some of those conferences that he used to go to for the leadership stuff for the student council. And that they had a group come in called Miami Sound.
Yeah.
Which is a acapella group.
Not the Miami Sound Machine.
No. And that they had also done that.
That specific
song? That technique.
Yeah.
For the rain. But he said that he had never seen the thing where they flash the lights and jump and it sounds like thunder.
Thunder. And you know what? I turned the volume all the way up on my speakers on the computer. And I played that thing, and the cat's ears perked up. Oh. She ran out to the window and she started sniffing.
Thinking that a storm was coming.
She knew there was a storm coming.
Right.
Absolutely convinced the cat that it was a thunderstorm. And I thought that was pretty impressive.
What is it about, that's why we call it a podcast.
Right.
What is it about animals that make them do stuff like that? I had a friend who had a dog that was absolutely...
frightened of thunderstorms.
Absolutely. Totally frightened.
And
she was convinced that it actually tried to kill itself once by drinking antifreeze. They had... Unfortunately, they live in the woods.
Yeah.
And somebody had dumped a bunch of antifreeze.
Yeah.
Now, they knew that it had been there for a long time.
Right.
Because they passed it when they took the dog out for a walk. The dog knew that it had been there for a long time. Never bothered it. One time, big thunderstorm coming, the dog went out, drank the antifreeze, came back, and literally almost died under their bed. They had to rush it to the vet and had it, I don't know whether they had it stomach pumped or whatever.
Yeah, our dog would hide behind the couch every time that there was a thunderstorm. I know they hear in different ranges, so I imagine the sound hurts their ear.
It hurts them, yeah, could be.
But I think they're frightened of the lightning, too. Or they understand that the two come together. And if you're out, I don't know. It's obviously an evolutionary trait. And you know, you can't tilt the windmills all you want. You can't beat a lightning storm. You can't go out there with a sword and you know, fight lightning. You're just going to die.
Right.
And I think the animals that learn to hide from lightning were more likely to pass on their genes.
Did you ever see the... I'm going to forget the name of it. I'm going to have to ask Mrs. Penguin. The movie... What was the movie that we saw recently about the guy who was born old and got younger?
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Okay, did you ever see that movie, The Curious Case of
Benjamin Button? You know, I have not seen it. I looked, it was 3 hours, and I said, I'm not...
It's a long movie. It is a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
It's interesting because of a lot of different reasons. There's lessons to
it.
Yeah, and I could understand why. It was way too long.
Yeah.
They could have done it in probably two-thirds the time.
Yeah.
But it was a movie about lessons.
Right.
But essentially, the guy... Without giving away the story or whatever, the guy is born old.
Yeah, I know that.
The adoptive parent.
Right, but that's really all I want to know.
Right. The adoptive parent kind of takes him in, and she runs like a nursing home, an old-fashioned nursing home in the South in the
20s. Right.
Where basically, when you got old, you moved in, and she took care of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sort of thing.
Senior living arrangement. Right.
Well, there was an old man, and throughout the whole story, he would always say to Benjamin Button, "Did you know that I got hit by lightning 7 times?
Yeah.
And each time he would say it, he would tell a different story.
Yeah.
Once I was just driving down the road, going to get the mail, and the lightning came and struck, you know, knocked me down. And they'd show a little clip of him driving down the road and getting knocked down.
Yeah.
One time I was just standing under this tree in the field, and he gets knocked down and stuff like that. It just reminds me of the whole thing about lightning.
It's dangerous, and I think loud sounds scare people and animals.
Well, Mrs. Penguin will tell you, I love storms.
Oh, me too.
I could sit here and watch 10 storms come through.
Right.
Without even...
But we have relatively massive brains compared to ancient
animals. Cats or...
Or, you know... things in the evolutionary history.
Right.
But my friend Brian used to like to say that humans are the only animal, and I may be wrong, it may be humans and chimpanzees, that will run toward a loud noise.
Oh, interesting.
Every animal runs away from a loud noise. You know, it can't be good. Whatever's happening there is not to my benefit. I'm going that way.
Chimpanzees. Want to hear a chimpanzee story?
Sure.
Okay. Somebody sent me, I don't know if I sent this to you, somebody sent me a video off of YouTube that came from dig.com, and basically it was, this is how monkeys open bananas.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I said, this is some kind of joke thing, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the video comes on and there's a guy standing in his kitchen, and he does a 2-minute presentation about this.
Right.
And basically, this is what he says. He says, you know, I've been eating bananas for 27 years. He says, I always have trouble opening them.
Yeah.
He said, they're just very, very difficult to open. You pull it off the bunch, you have that little stalk on top, you bend it, sometimes it doesn't break. You end up having to bite it. You get that banana taste in your mouth that's terrible.
That skin
you got to go find a knife or a scissor to cut the top.
Right.
He said, and I struggled with this for the last 27 years. So my girlfriend said to me one day, why don't you just open them like monkeys open them?
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know, you never hear about monkeys having trouble
opening
a banana. So there must be some sort of trick to it.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, they probably just bite the top off. And,
right.
But no.
How do monkeys open bananas?
They turn the banana upside down to the other end, and you take two fingers, and you give a gentle pinch to the bottom, and it pops open. And then you peel it open.
The top pops open?
No, the bottom pops open.
Uh-huh.
So they open it upside down.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now, he does it on the video.
Yeah.
And it literally takes 3 seconds and no strain. So I went out and I got a banana.
I had to try it.
I went and I did it.
Yeah.
And it literally took 3 seconds and no strain. You squeeze the top, the thing splits, you grab it, and you open up the banana. And I'm shocked. I'm just absolutely shocked that I could be 53 years old
and not have ever learned to open a banana better than a monkey.
Yeah.
Well,
intelligent design.
Yeah. We're used to the way we're used to.
I guess. Pardon?
You're
54. 54. 53. Well, I didn't have a banana until I was 1 year old, so that's where the 53 came from.
Well, I will definitely check that out. We definitely have... I think it has to do with... Well, I was going to say our orientation, like we present them as the stem is on top, but actually the earth presents them as the stem is on top, too. They hang down from the stem.
So. Right.
So, the monkeys had an original thought about turning them upside down.
Absolutely.
Now, I just heard that there was a study that said that our closest neighbor in the monkey world is orangutans.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah. The people were shocked.
Very little difference in the DNA.
Yeah. And when there's not a lot of difference between us and chimps either.
Well, there's not a lot of difference between us and frogs. I mean,
in the
grand scheme of things.
Right.
I mean, most of the DNA is really the same.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's just this little... But the differences are big.
Well, and there's a big jump between frogs and cows, and a smaller jump between cows and monkeys. But, yes, we are... Most of the world has... Most of life has huge clumps of DNA that are
right.
Consistent.
Well, that's the Jurassic Park theory. I mean, they use frog DNA. Surprisingly,
right.
Michael Crichton, when he investigated it, when he was writing the book, found out that that's what they were going to do.
Did I tell you about a story I heard? I hate to mention another podcast on this podcast, but it's worth mentioning. It's a good podcast, Escape Pod. Did a story called N-Words.
Uh-huh.
Where it started out in Korea. Korean scientists have taken a little Neanderthal DNA and spliced it into some human DNA. And the story follows, you know, what happens. Really beautifully written and read. And not entirely impossible.
Right.
You know, for future,
generations.
Science splicing. Well, I think this podcast is...
I think we've run our course.
Ending with a whimper.
The storm may have come back, or maybe not. But the CSA podcast will be around for a while.
Well, we can do another podcast and some more chronicles. We'll be back.
Max, it's been fun. I never would have predicted 2 years ago that we were going to do 100 shows.
I'm enjoying the podcast very much.
I'm surprised and shocked. And happy.
Yeah.
I think we've done a nice job.
Yeah. We thank all of our lovely fans. Continue to listen to us. Continue to send your emails to csapodcast@gmail.com. And keep those cards and letters coming. Keep listening.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screams.